Manifestations and the foretelling of what's going to be done or taught this Sunday. I don't know if I need to teach anything. Bob gave a great teaching last week here on Wednesday night about the expectations of Pentecost. This did not just, Pentecost didn't just happen. Okay? Jesus Christ personally instructed his disciples about what was going to happen and how to receive the Holy Spirit, not just once, but several times while he was with them, including the very last time before he ascended into heaven. So it wasn't like some, you know, wow, what just happened moment. They were taught, they were expecting, and when it happened, they knew exactly what to do. So that was a wonderful example by Jesus Christ of under-shepherding and mentoring those guys so that they were able to receive the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost. So Pentecost, you know, we'll go, of course, where are we going to go to talk about Pentecost? Acts chapter 2, right? So Pentecost had been coming for a long, long time. In fact, it was coming since before there was a Pentecost. So in Acts chapter 1, we're going to cover a few preliminaries here before we get to the main point of the speech. But Acts chapter 1, and verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me." So, obviously he'd already told them about the promise of the Father, right? He says, you've already heard this, but I am telling you again, just to refresh your memory, go back to Jerusalem. Don't go running off somewhere. Okay, go back to Jerusalem and hang out and wait for the promise of the Father. In verse 5, it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with
Holy Spirit."
Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, pneuma, hagion is the words in the original language. Pneuma, hagion, pneuma meaning spirit, breath. It's translated various ways, but in this context, spirit. And hagion is holy. So one of the issues with that phrase, though, is it takes some study to figure out, are we talking about the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit?
God.
God is holy and he's spirit, right? So a lot of times when you read the words Holy Spirit, it's talking about God. But other times when it's talking about Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, what's it talking about?
The gift.
The gift that God gave, and that gift was of his nature, which is Holy Spirit, okay? So, again, it takes some work to figure out which usage is being made in any particular verse, okay? But in this verse, it's talking about the gift. You'll be baptized. What did he say about who was baptized and how before the day of Pentecost?
John
was baptizing with what?
Water.
But, so that puts in contrast what's coming next with what happened before. But you're going to be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. So did they know exactly when this was going to happen? Nope. They had to do what?
Wait.
They had to obey, be at the right place at the right time to receive this promise, okay? So, pneuma hagion, the gift, or it can be God the giver, but these three things, we'll turn to Luke for just a minute, chapter 24. The same guy that wrote Acts wrote Luke.
Luke what? 24.
And verse 49, it says, again, this is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye, hang out in the city of Jerusalem until you be imbued with power from on high. So between these first couple of verses in Acts, 4 and 5, and Luke 24:49, we have three different things talked about. The promise of the Father, what was that?
The Holy Spirit.
Baptism in the Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
Endued with power from on high, Luke says, what is that?
Holy Spirit.
So all three of those things are talking about the same thing, which is the gift of Holy Spirit. So that's 1:8 says, again, Jesus is talking, but you shall receive what?
Power.
What the Greek word here? Dunamis. Potential power. Exousia would be exercise power. Dunamis is what you have inside, okay? That kind of power. After the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What did they need in order to be witnesses for Jesus Christ throughout the whole world? Holy Spirit. That's right. They needed that dunamis, that power. Otherwise, their mission was going to be dead on arrival. Okay, but they got the power on the day of Pentecost. After they received the Holy Spirit, and not before, is when the church started off and just grew exponentially as they stood on that promise. So, what do witnesses do? They witness. Being a witness, you don't defend the truth, okay? You're not a defense attorney. You never need to defend the truth. Only thing you have to do is witness to it, okay? No apologizing or qualifying the truth. The truth is the truth. And all you need to do is say what the truth is, okay? So, verse 13. And when they were come back to Jerusalem, you think they didn't go immediately back to Jerusalem? Those guys beat feet back to Jerusalem, okay? They went up into an upper room where both Peter and James and John and all these other guys, all 11 of them, okay? Hung out in this upper room. And there's a lot of people that will teach you that, or try to teach you that on the day of Pentecost, they're all up in this upper room. Couldn't have happened in the upper room. First of all, on the day of Pentecost, there were women present, okay? Women weren't allowed, and the upper room was where they slept, okay? So women would never be allowed up there. In fact, they weren't even allowed to clean a man's sleeping quarters. It would have to be a male servant that did that. All right. So where were they? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Look at Luke 24 again. Go back for a minute to good old Luke. In 24, verse 53. And they were where?
Continually
in the temple, praising and blessing God. This is, you know, before the day of Pentecost. So they were hanging out in the temple. When would they be at the temple?
Hours of prayer.
At the hours of prayer, right. So just like with the Muslims today, they have hours of prayer where they go, they bow to the east, and they do their Allah Allah thing, whatever it is. So too, the Jews were expected to pray and be at the temple during the hours of prayer. Let's look at Acts now in chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I've always wondered about that word fully. What the heck was going on there? What does that mean? Well, like I said, this day of Pentecost was coming since when? Since man disobeyed God and fell from grace, and God promised a Redeemer. Okay, that's when the day of Pentecost, even though there wasn't a feast yet associated with it, but that's when the day of Pentecost was first thought of and was coming from that point on. Okay, so it had been a while coming. So that's why it kind of emphasizes that by using that word fully. When it was fully come. How many days of Pentecost did they have before that? I don't know. I didn't do the math. But there were dozens, maybe hundreds of days of Pentecost had come and gone before that, right? But this Pentecost was the Pentecost, okay? And they were all with one accord in the upper room.
No.
Not what it says. They were all with one accord in one place. And what place would that naturally be? Especially when you see later on that there were thousands of people there. It's the temple, right? So I'm just going to read on here for a little bit. Acts 1:1-13 is all about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and actually you guys can read that on your own. I'm sure you've read it many, many times, but they're there in one accord. All of a sudden there's tongues of fire, right? No, there's tongues like as of fire. If there were tongues of fire, they would have been burned up, right? It's tongues like as of fire. That was a phenomena that, as far as we know, only occurred on the day of Pentecost when they first received Holy Spirit for the first time. As far as we know, that's never occurred again when somebody received the Holy Spirit into manifestation, right? But it was God kind of showing off, getting everybody's attention, and saying, hey, there's something really special going on here. Okay. So I'm going to skip ahead to verse 17, because what I really want to show you from this is that day they received power from on high, and it changed their lives forever. And in this example, it's this Apostle Peter. Now, what do we know about Peter? Was he a timid kind of guy?
No, not all the time.
No. Was he kind of a bold and brash kind of a guy?
Yes.
Yeah. Wasn't it he that, when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden, he sliced the chief priest's and servant's ear off?
Yeah.
Wasn't it he that said, hey, no matter what, man, I don't care what happens in Christ, Jesus, I'm with you all the way. I'm going to be by your side the whole time, right? Well, what happened?
He said goodbye.
Yeah, they arrested Jesus, and they took him to the chief priest's house, and Peter kind of followed at a distance and hung out with the crowd out in the courtyard. And when they asked him who he was, he or was he one of the Messiahs or the Christ's disciples, what did he say? Not me, no, not me. I'm not one of them. And how many times did he say that? How many times was he confronted? And how many times did he deny Jesus Christ? Six times. Six times. And where was he after after they took and crucified Jesus Christ? Where was he and his buddies?
Behind closed doors.
Behind closed doors. Why? For fear of the Jews. Right. So think about that. They were legitimately scared that they could be next. Okay. I mean, you just saw your leader taken away and crucified. And as far as they knew, that was the end of it. Okay. They were scared. They're very, very scared. Frankly, I'm kind of surprised that they kept going to the temple. Because that's probably one of the first places that the Jewish leaders were going to look for them, right? But they did what God told them to do, which, you know, during those hours of prayer, they were supposed to be there in the temple. And thank God that they were. But Peter, you know, just before this happened, him and his friends had been hiding out. Okay? And now he's going to deliver the very first speech of the church. And he has just received Holy Spirit, and he has lambanoed, which means that he spoke in tongues. He received the Holy Spirit into manifestation. And these guys that are, what's going on in Jerusalem right then? Thousands and thousands of people are there from all over the world. Okay, because it's Pentecost. And it's one of those feasts that they were supposed to come from wherever they were, come to Jerusalem to celebrate. And they were there. And there was people from at least a dozen different countries. You read in an ill name like Phrygia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, people from all over the place, okay, there to celebrate Pentecost. And who do you think all those people were? Who's to say that they were? They're Jews. Okay, they're Jews. And a lot of them are the very same Jews that had Christ crucified. Okay? They were the ones calling for Christ to be sacrificed and crucified instead of Barabbas, right? So they're in this crowd. And Peter gets up and he says to these guys. Oh, one more thing. These guys, when they heard all this, speaking in tongues, and another miracle on this occasion was that even though all the apostles were Galileans, which was like a northern accent, totally different from a Judean accent, okay, even though they all were Galileans, everybody in the crowd understood what they were saying, and they said, how's this possible? We hear you speaking the wonderful works of God in our language. Okay. But the really funny thing is, then almost immediately they said, oh, these guys must be drunk.
Yep.
And Peter starts off right away by disabusing them of that notion. Okay. But look in verse 17. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Wait a minute. 15.
No, for he cannot come in. Right. He is not drunk.
Okay. So we'll go up here to 13. Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine. They're drunk." But Peter, stand up with the 11, so all 12 apostles were there, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words." Listen up, okay? "For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day." It's only like 9 in the morning. I mean, most alcoholics and lowlifes aren't drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? Much less these guys. "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in last days," et cetera, et cetera. I'm now going to skip on down a little further. But what you need to know is Peter had changed in an instant. Okay. From being scared, being behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, to confronting them straight up, okay? What changed Peter?
The Holy Spirit.
He received the Holy Spirit. That's what changed us, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the day that you received the Holy Spirit, were you changed? I know I was changed, okay? And forever changed. It's not something that's ever going to unchange, okay? But Peter's words here, actually, in my mind, is a second manifestation of the Holy Spirit. His words were prophecy. Now, don't forget that prophecy is either foretelling or holding forth God's word. He was holding forth the word of God as God. He didn't sit there in his study at home writing out a sermon all week long and editing it and changing it. And da, da, da. What did Jesus tell them about witnessing? Jesus told them, don't even worry about what you're going to say. Okay? The Holy Spirit will give you the words that you need to be witnesses for me. And that's what's happening with Peter right here. He is getting this manifestation of prophecy, and God is giving, the Holy Spirit is giving him the exact words to say. All right, let's look on down in verse 36. I hope I got this right. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus whom you," I can just imagine Peter standing up there, actually pointing a finger at that crowd and saying, "who you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." God made him Lord and Christ, but you crucified him. That is some dang boldness, okay? I mean, he's looking at the very people that did have Jesus crucified and telling them straight up. Would he have done that a few minutes earlier before he received the Holy Spirit? No. What was he doing before that? Hiding out. But now he's like, this Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. God made him that way. You crucified him. Okay? Now, what changed me? That which changed Peter from a vacillating disciple, because he was hot and cold even the whole time. He was with Jesus, you know. Hey, call me out of the boat. He gets out of the boat, looks around, sees the storm, and immediately starts sinking, right? So he could be hot and cold, and that's what the word vacillating means. But what changed Peter from a vacillating disciple into an apostle who was absolutely fearless and bold was receiving the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Okay? That's what changed him. He goes on to do all kinds of great things for God. He becomes the disciple to the Jews, okay? And he never, again, as far as we know, faltered or failed to stand for God and for what God told him to do. These Judeans went from, what is this? What is the meaning of this? They had actually asked. You go back, you'll see it in the chapter 2 there. What's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of this? And then, oh, these guys are all drunk. To finally being convicted by Peter's bold and powerful preaching of their guilt of having Jesus Christ crucified. And then seeking to repent. So look at verse 37. Now when they heard this, they who?
The Judeans,
okay? They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's a pretty quick change, too, when you think about it. A couple minutes ago, they were going like, what the heck's going on here? These guys are all drunk, too. Oh, my gosh. You know, he's right. We did do that. And what do we need to do to try to make up for that? And what does Peter tell them? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive what?
The gift
of Holy Spirit. And that receive again is dunamis. But whenever they received the gift of Holy Spirit, how do we know they actually received the Holy Spirit? They lambano, they've manifested by speaking in tongues, right? So, what changed, Peter? Really simple. I mean, and believe me, I'm not being critical of Peter about hiding out or in there. I would have been probably under a rock somewhere if my Lord and Savior, my what they, you know, were calling a cult leader and everything had just been taken away and tortured for 2 or 3 days and then crucified on a cross. I probably would have been hiding out too. But he obeyed God. He obeyed what Jesus told him. Go back to Jerusalem. Just wait. Didn't tell him how long. So they had to believe that this was going to happen. They weren't sure when, but they were at the right place at the right time. And when he got that gift of the Holy Spirit, he said, to heck with this. I'm not scared anymore. I'm telling you guys what. You crucified Christ, but you know what? It's okay. Because now is your opportunity to receive Holy Spirit. And they did, up to 3,000 that day. So, I think we all need to remember that we got changed, and we should be living changed lives, okay? We should be living like, you know, Dr. Orr would teach this whole thing about being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You got top hat, you walk in, and you're not, like, just scared and shy, and, oh, would you like to hear the word again? No. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. If you were the ambassador for the President of the United States, you'd be pretty bold, right? Well, to heck with the President of the United States, you're the ambassador for Jesus Christ, okay? And you are to be witnesses, and you have what it takes to be witnesses because you have Holy Spirit, okay?
Thanks, Bob.